Sydney.
Yeah.
How do you feel about award shows?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't hate them.
Okay.
I have a fun little time. Sometimes I watch the Grammys, or like the Tonys for like the little shows they put on in between. I like a show.
Those little dancing freaks.
I like to be entertained, okay?
Okay.
I had a fun time watching the Oscars last year, but that's because I did my whole, I watched like all the Best Picture movies.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like I know all of these. So then it's fun to be like, oh, I hope that they win. And then they do win and you're like, yay! So like I have a good time. I know some people like really hate them, but like I have a good time.
Why do you think people hate them?
There's a whole culture behind them.
You're right.
Of like paying people and doing behind the scenes things and like campaigning and doing, and I know like it's the whole culture behind it, and I totally like understand. And then sometimes like during, like the host will be like, "You're just not funny. This isn't funny and I'm not having a good time." Or like especially for people who are like really rooting for something and then it doesn't win.
Yeah.
XYZ, you know?
No. It can be very toxic.
Yes.
At times. And it kind of depends on which form of media you're talking about. So, I can understand that. Absolutely.
But I love seeing what people wear. I'm a bitch who's like, on Twitter.
Yeah.
What are they wearing? Oh my god. Love. I love seeing what people are wearing.
Slur.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm also just really easily entertained.
I think that is also very valid. Yep, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Flashing lights and pretty colors. Oh my god.
Seeing people and dancing and tapping. Wow.
That's the, like, the king in us.
Yeah.
Seeing our little gesture dancer on the stage. It's like, wow, look at you.
Also, it was really fun. Like, I'm just, like, comparing this to the Oscars because, again, I just watched a ton of them. And my family, who I was watching with, hadn't really. So I was like, oh, I really hope that this wins because... So then it's just, like, an excuse for me to talk about, like, a thing that I was really invested in and whatever. But it also gives me an excuse to, like, hey, I love when something I hate doesn't win.
I think that's a very unifying thing, too. Especially when there's lots of pieces of media out there where people are just like, I fucking hate it.
Right.
I can't fucking stand it.
And when that bitch loses, I love it. I love when things I hate lose. And I love the things I love win. Hey, aren't we all human?
Hey. That is the distillation of the human nature, I feel.
Yeah.
One award show that you mentioned that is the one that we're going to be talking about. Sorry, that was a TikTok that I was watching. Is the Game Awards.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the Game Awards.
That's absolutely valid.
I watched a single video about, like, the history of the Game Awards. And that was crazy that they just used to have, like, shirtless, bikini-clad women to, like, keep the attention on the screen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was rough at the beginning. And, like... I hate to say it, but, like, understandably so, given, like, the stereotypes in the audience that it was had. So, the Game Awards was actually founded in 2014.
Okay.
I hadn't realized. I was like, surely.
Right.
Surely in
2019.
In the aughts.
Oh, in the aughts.
I thought it was going to be, like, the aughts.
Mm.
Somewhere around there. And then it just, like, was very small and it grew over time. 2014 was a little later than I had anticipated. And since then, it has completely been based off of, like, general audience public votes, not any sort of Grammy gatekeeping, no sort of Oscar gatekeeping, which I very much enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about it. Although, I will say, Game Awards, your fucking website keeps shutting down on me as soon as I'm almost done voting, so I'm very upset in that regard. Let me fucking vote.
I will say there is a hint of, like, popularity bias that does come from that, and I don't know how the Game Awards does it. I keep an eye on the Goodreads Choice Awards, which is for books.
Right.
And that is very much, like, a popularity bias, like, overall. Mm-hmm. That also has, like, a ton of issues, just, like, in terms, but, like, I don't know another book award system that's, like, fully on the public and not, like, ranked on by judges and, like, a Booker Prize or a Pulitzer or something.
Well, and this goes with any form of media, but it's hard to be like, look at this objective piece of creativity and judge it harshly.
Well, for sure, because then, like, especially for, and I'm going to just, like, assume, because, like, I feel like in my mind, like, video games and novels are, like, kind of the same because they're not, like, as they're not getting the Oscars, they're not getting the Tonys.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to, like, most of today, if you hadn't guessed already, is going to be a conversation between us about this, just because I do feel like it is very similar between written narratives and narratives on a screen of some kind. So it's kind of like a, I don't know a lot about Goodreads.
Yeah.
But you do. And I know that you do, which is why I want to talk, because I know more about the Game Awards.
Yeah.
But they're both like pieces of media that inspire fan fiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of creativity for sure derives from these. And then people spin things off, mm-hmm, and then take from that and kind of build their own world. Yeah. So I feel like it's, I'm also like, I haven't talked about it before on the show, which feels kind of weird because all I ever do is talk about video games.
Yeah.
So it feels appropriate. Also, by the time I was like, oh, maybe we'll talk about it in December, by the time that episode would have come out, the Game Awards would have been over.
Sure.
Voting is open now, by the way, as I should say this. But, like, voting is open now. The show airs, like, December 7th or something like that. So it is free to, like, go vote and check things out if you would like to. But back to, like, they're both the same but different.
Yeah, I like, they're obviously, like, they're different, but they feel of, like, the Goodreads Choice Awards, at least, and, like, the Gamer Awards feels similar to me, and of like, it's a popularity thing. And like, Goodreads has a problem where like, things like on BookTok who get a lot of attention end up winning because it's just popular. Like, oh, I can see this, a bunch of people I know love it, even if I haven't read it, I'll vote for it. And like, I don't know if the Gamer Award, I feel like they do, just because like, everyone has this problem. They're very white, they're not very diverse. The 2023 Goodreads Choice Award just came out, and in the romance category, there's no queer authors. There's, like, two BIPOC authors. Very large issue. And then, like, I feel like this could be said for gaming, too, especially when it comes of, like, indie. And, like, obviously, there's, like, indie novels and everything. But, like, they just got rid of the middle grade graphic novels and poetry categories.
See, Game Awards has done the opposite, and I will go through the categories. They have 31 categories.
Oh, that's crazy. Goodreads only has 15.
Right, and so they keep adding more every year, and two of the categories are Best Indie Developer, or Best Indie Game, and then Best Indie Debut. There's also, like, a couple others that help promote, and on their website, they're very much like, any game can be submitted for the game. We are not barring this to, like, AAA titles, like, nothing like that. It is to whatever, if you made a game and you feel like it could win, please submit it. Like, please go for
Goodreads
it.
Goodreads definitely has the opposite problem, where it's like, they've like, literally, like, today as we're recording, like, they announce, like, their first round of nominations, because it goes through several rounds of, like, popular voting systems. And everyone was like, what happened to middle grade and children's? What happened to graphic novels? And what happened to poetry? Three genres that are, like, very underlooked in terms of, like,
That's kind
literature.
Of upsetting. Yeah, that's kind of fucked.
But it's like, they added romantasy.
Tussy?
They added a subgenre, which is, like, totally fine, but, like, you don't need to get rid of three other categories for romantasy, a thing that TikTok bitches made up.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So, yeah.
Yikes.
I wish they would just, like, keep adding more subgenres like that, because it is getting to a point where it's like, yeah, there's a bunch of different types of romance novels. There's a bunch of different kind of, even just, like, within categories of, like, young adult and middle grade and graphic novels, of just, like, there are mystery graphic novels and contemporary graphic novels.
Right. And I mean, that's kind of how any form of media is now. And I've sort of talked about this on the show, but I have a lot of personal opinions involving genres and categories as a whole, because we are living in a time where those lines are blurred now. They're not as hard as set as they were in the 70s or the 80s, where it was like, this is rock and roll and this is blues jazz.
For sure.
We're in a time where it's like, oh, this is kind of like synth wave, but it's also a mix of like jazz fusion, which is a subgenre of jazz.
Right.
But now we're starting to mix and mold things, and things are becoming mixed media, and genres aren't like romanticy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're combining the two and we're making a word out of it. Okay, cool. But, like, how are you going to clearly set a defined term for, like, what that entails?
For sure.
Why can't it just be...
Yeah. And there is things that, like, you can push things forward. Like, I'm glad that the Game Awards are just, like, anybody can do this, because that on Goodreads, you have to get, like, above a certain rating. Like, you have to be out for a certain time. Like, I think you have to be above a 3.6 rating.
See... Even, like, games like Super Mario Wonder just came out, like, a week or two ago, is on the nomination.
Yeah. I would like to see, like, what you would like. I really only play indie games, So I'd like to for that to come up, see what's on the board, and see what I would like to win.
We can go through. I only have a couple of the nominations written down, mm-hmm. like actually, because there are 31 categories,
yeah, for
and
sure.
I was like, I'm not gonna go through every single one of those. Yeah. But I do have the website pulled up just in case mm-hmm. you do want to hear any of them.
I really only care because I only play like indie games.
Okay,
like
the thing is, I'm not there. We'll go through it.
Okay.
So as I said earlier, there are 31 categories. I'm gonna just kind of go from the bottom and go up. These are all relatively new. Best esports event.
Event?
Yeah, because there's like,
yeah.
there's the League's World Cup, there's the Valorant World Cup, there's Dota 2
how do you,
World Cup.
How do you define what the best event is then?
That's the thing. It's like, yeah. there's kind of no terms. It's just like, if you had an event for esports,
mm-hmm.
bada bing, bada boom.
Right.
Where it's like, with League of Legends especially, it's been huge for years.
For sure.
They buy out stadiums. Their stadiums get bought out by fans mm-hmm. wanting to watch it. They have K-pop idols come and sing, like mm-hmm. you know, they work very closely with musicians, they put on rock shows, mm-hmm. like it's not just a gaming event, it is like this entirely,
it's an experience,
it's an experience essentially. So like you have to like compare what you know about the different events for that. The second category is best esports coach.
Damn, that's like a deep cut, like
yeah,
you have to know.
But then there's best esports team, best esports athlete, and best esports game.
Oh yeah, you've lost me. Like,
so there's five categories for esports in it of itself.
That's
which
crazy.
I think is very cool because esports was not even recognized
yeah.
as like official sports. Like people are still fighting about it. They're like, it's not real. The definition of a sport is two teams challenged against one another.
Yeah.
That is the base level of what chess is a sport.
Yeah.
You can fight me on this every day. It involves strategy, mm-hmm. it involves brain power. You have to make moves against another opponent. Why are games no different?
Yeah.
So I think it just goes to show that, like, they really care about their community
right.
to put the coach, the event, the team, the athlete themselves,
yeah.
and the game. So I think it's very impressive. I think it's cool. They also have Content Creator of the Year.
Ooh.
I should specify this is live streamers only. It is kind of misleading in this sense.
Oh,
I do
okay.
have a problem with this category because it is, like,
right.
Content Creator, only live streamers. So
only, like,
even the five people nominated for it are Iron Mouse. Don't know who the fuck that is.
Oh, she's
a VTuber.
VTuber.
Yeah, I saw the picture. People Make Games.
Don't know.
Quackity is the only one that I know on this list.
Yes, I do know Quackity.
Spreen, S-P-R-E-E-N.
Yeah, no.
And then Cypher PK, S-Y-P-H-E-R-P-K. I
know who
Quackity.
Iron Mouse is, and that's about it.
It's kind of misleading in the sense mm-hmm. that, like, when they said content creator, I was like, oh, Mark highlights a lot of
for sure
indie developed games.
But they mean, like, Twitch streamer,
They mean live streamer.
Yeah.
So I feel like the category should just be
sure
worded differently because
yeah.
it's kind of misleading. They have most anticipated game. They have
okay.
best adaptation, which I think is very cool. This includes Castlevania Nocturne, Gran
okay.
Turismo, The Last of Us TV show, The Super Mario Bros. Movie, and Twisted Metal. Those are the five nominees.
The Last of Us is obviously...
Listen, I was so torn between The Last of Us and Castlevania. Castlevania's
yeah.
so
no,
good.
No, you love Castlevania.
But I did have to give it to The
Last
of Us. I did vote for them because it's just too good
it
to,
is.
Like, pass up. Like,
yeah.
it is... The production value, the VFX, the sound effects, like, everything was just on par.
I would be shocked if it didn't win. The only thing that I can see it losing to is the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Even then, I don't think it's going
sure.
to be perfectly honest with you.
But if it lost, that's the only thing that I can think of it losing to.
That's absolutely fair. Next, they have Best Multiplayer Game.
Okay.
Best Sports / Racing Game. The Best Simulation or Strategy Game.
Okay.
Best Family Game.
Okay.
Best Fighting Game. Best RPG, which stands for Role-Playing Game. And then there's Best Action / Adventure. Best Action gets its own category since it's different. There's Best VR / AR Game.
Okay.
There's Best Mobile Game. They have Best Debut Indie Game.
Okay.
They have Best Independent Game. They have Best Community Support. Best Ongoing, which just means, like, games that are constantly...
Mm-hmm.
So, Fortnite, you know, that kind of
Genshin
thing.
Genshin Impact.
Yes. Games for Impact, so games that promote impact in some kind
mm-hmm.
of way, whether it be environmental,
right.
community support, that kind of thing. They have Innovation in Accessibility,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool. I like that award a lot. They have Best Performance, Best Audio Design, Best Score and Music,
mm.
Best Art Direction. They have Best Narrative, and... We're getting, this is the third to last category, and I'm going to just say what the nominations
okay.
are. So, best narrative is between Alan Wake 2, I don't know what Alan Wake is. I've seen pieces of it on TikTok. I've seen promotions and stuff. Yeah. I never played the first one, so I can't say anything about the series. Baldur's Gate 3, let's go.
Why is favorite game? I absolutely would.
Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty.
Okay.
Which I've heard really good things about. Okay. Cyberpunk is on my list to play, but it's like...
Yeah.
That's still a massive game in itself, so I want to get caught up on Baldur's Gate. Final Fantasy 16, which I didn't even know 16 came out this year.
I did hear about 16 coming out.
All I remember is 14 coming out like years ago, and I was like, wow, this game's pretty. I'd never played a Final Fantasy
game. The next time you look over, it's 25.
I know. Huh? What's going on? And then Marvel's Spider-Man 2, which is a Sony product, which makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah.
The second to last category is Best Game Direction, which is also Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's also, like, very tough pickings. Yeah. And then the last award is obviously Game of the Year.
Yes.
And I do want to go through every year's lineup.
I was just about to ask you to do that, bitch.
Thank you. So we're going to go from 2014 and on to, like, because some of the years I was like, God, that was a good year for gaming. Goddamn. So, this year is tough, too. This year, yikes. It was hard for me to pick, too. So, in 2014, the nominees were Dragon Age Inquisition, Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Hearthstone, or Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor.
I'm gonna guess Dark Souls 1.
Dragon Age Inquisition 1.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's
fair.
Because Dark Souls 2 is actually known as the worst of the Dark Souls.
Really?
Yeah. I like Dark Souls 2. A lot of people don't, and I can
understand
why.
There's a lot of fan fiction about Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, there is a lot, and it still holds up as, like, a pretty good game, so I can see why it won. Mm-hmm. 2015 was Super Mario Maker, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, Fallout 4, Bloodborne, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
It had to have been between Bloodborne and Fallout 4, but I'm going to go with Fallout 4.
No. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
That's crazy!
I'm so mad Bloodborne didn't win. I'm so fucking mad.
You love that game.
I'm going to get a tattoo from Bloodborne, like, relatively soon. And, yeah. I understand why The Witcher 3 was the end of the Witcher game series. Wrapped everything up, finished all the storylines.
Got it.
And I'm pretty sure... As far as I know, and everyone can correct me on this, the Witcher games followed pretty closely to the books.
Okay.
More than the TV show has done. So, in that sense, I think that's why, like, people are just, like, wrapped up the story, trilogy, nice set and finish, and done.
No, that's different, because even Fallout 4, I hear a lot of good things.
Fallout 4 is very good.
Yeah, okay.
I have not played it in its entirety myself. Fallout... as a setting isn't my favorite, like the nuclear fallout kind of thing.
Like a dystopian.
I like apocalyptic settings, but when compared to something, and this is Bethesda made that game, they also made Skyrim.
Okay.
Skyrim, but I would pick Skyrim any day over the Fallout series.
It's your favorite game of all time.
It is one of my favorite games of all time. So yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it'd be like that. For 2016, there was Inside, you remember that 2D scroller?
No, but keep going.
Okay. Doom. Okay. There was Titanfall 2, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, and Overwatch.
Overwatch 1, okay.
And I'm upset that they did.
Yeah.
Listen, as someone who played Overwatch 1 a fuck ton and continues to play Overwatch, which is my worst trait as a human being currently.
You could have so much worse, though.
Oh, 100%.
You could play League of Legends.
That's the thing. It's like, I know I did play League of Legends for a time, but I escaped.
You escaped.
I got it out of my veins.
Yeah.
Like, Uncharted 4 is such, in my opinion, like, a narrative masterpiece.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, that's why I was, like, thinking for a really long time, because I was gonna say Uncharted 4, but I was like, they probably didn't win.
Yeah. And then, even then, Titanfall 2 as well. As I have grown older, I have learned to very much appreciate Titanfall 2. Just for what it was at the time and also the gameplay. So I feel like it should have been between Titanfall 2 and Uncharted 4.
But Overwatch 1.
And I'm pretty sure that was a popularity thing rather than like
absolutely it was.
That's a little upsetting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 2017. PlayerUnknown's Battleground, PUBG.
Okay.
Persona 5. Super Mario Odyssey. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Or Horizon Zero Dawn.
It was Breath of the Wild.
It absolutely
was. It was Breath of the Wild.
It absolutely was. But PUBG was fucking huge at the time. Super Mario Odyssey, great game.
Yeah.
Never played Persona 5, heard really good things about it. And Horizon Zero Dawn still has, like, a bunch of content surrounded around it. So that was a prime...
For sure.
Prime year for
but
gaming.
But Breath of the Wild.
Oh. One yeah. Of, like, clean sweep.
Yeah.
2018 was Monster Hunter World, Red Dead Redemption 2, Celeste, Marvel's Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, or God of War.
I want to say Red Dead because I love watching people play Red Dead Redemption, but I'm just going to say Red Dead.
God of War.
God of War, okay.
But even then, that whole lineup too, it's like, those are all A-plus games that I would absolutely play.
There's something about the westernness of Red Dead Redemption 2.
I have not played any of the Red Dead games.
Mm-hmm. I haven't either. I've watched a ton of people do it.
I have not watched anything about it. So the thing is I do own Red Dead 2.
Okay.
And it has always been on my list to play because I know, like, I get the memes on Instagram Reels or TikTok of the guy that's like, are we just going to walk in the snow for a bit? It cuts to him, like, crying. And I'm like, I want to experience that. Yeah. I want to know why.
Yeah.
So I actively try not to know too much about it because it is on my list to one day. Same thing with Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. I try to avoid any sort of...
That's fair.
There's a lot of memes around both of the games, but no one ever spoils it or anything. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to keep it that way until I get around to playing them.
Yeah.
So, but even that whole... I understand why God of War...
I understand too, yeah.
The God of War soundtrack makes me cry. Sony Santa Monica fucking killed it. Yeah. And they beat out other Sony game, Marvel's Spider-Man, which was also huge that year. Celeste is something that's also on my list to play.
Celeste is like an indie game. I listen to its soundtrack all the time.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, I know people cried while playing that game. And I'm like, I want to
play it too.
I want to know why. Yeah. So I want to play it because I'm sure on like Nintendo Switch, it's not that expensive.
No, there's no way. Especially it's been out. You could probably find it on sale at some point.
At some point. So we'll see. And like Hades is on my list too to get around and
Hades
play.
Is still on my list. Yeah.
So, because even in this year's best anticipated games, Hades 2, I'm sure is going to win.
Yeah, I would
that
like,
category.
If you don't have it, the anticipated games, I would like to see like what.
Okay, we can go over this. So for 2019, the nominations were Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Okay.
The Outer Worlds, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Control, or Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
I feel like this is the one year where I know barely any of them. That's I know Resident Evil 2, and so that's what I'm going to say.
It was Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Okay.
It's a From Software game. Those are the people that made Bloodborne and Dark Souls.
Okay.
So this is like their Japanese style.
Got it.
Fighter, that kind of game. I understand why it won. I feel like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was a close second. I am against repeat games.
Oh, so like the remake of
Resident Evil 2. I feel like it should not have been nominated, but I feel like they got away with it because they changed just enough of the game to be like, it's a brand new game.
No, I think that's fair.
Whereas like if it's a remastered, absolutely should not be up for any nominations.
Okay.
You just remastered something that is not innovative in any way, shape, or
form. I think that's fair. I love, like, I think it comes out next month or this month, the Super Mario RPG new game, the remastered, comes out with like the new graphics. I'm so excited for that one. I will be playing that one.
Nice.
And then next year, Super Paper Mario 2, Thousand Year Door, comes out. And that one, I don't even think it's remastered. I think it just, like, maybe just has, I don't know, it looks exactly the same. It's not like Super Mario RPG where it's like, that looks completely different. You know what I mean? I see what you mean in terms of, like, you shouldn't be, like...
It makes me upset because it's going to happen a couple more times as we go through this list. And it's just like, I think you're just baiting for these awards because you're not necessarily doing anything new and you're not providing any new content. You're making the games with the same characters and it's the same storyline and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Just because there wasn't a Game Awards out in the 90s when these games first come out does not, in my opinion, mean you should be doing this again.
No, I mean, that's fair. Like, you're not going to get the award, but people still, like, love the games, you know?
No, and that's fair. But, like, there are plenty of games that people love that don't even get to the nomination list. So, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did Pokemon Black and White not get nominated? Where were they, Game of the Year?
Huh? You wanna answer to that?
Yeah, what crime is that? Sorry, what year did that get? Excuse me. 2011.
Damn.
So right before. I feel like that was the last, like, maybe I would have seen like X and Y get some sort of award, but anything after that, I'm like, no, I can
doesn't deserve it.
It doesn't deserve it.
It hasn't had the same magic since then. That is my own personal take.
No, you're correct. That is also my take.
Thank you for validation.
Yeah.
So nominations for 2020 are Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
Hades, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Animal Crossing New Horizons, or The Last of Us Part II.
It was Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Last of Us Part II.
No!
And the thing is, I would have put Last of Us Part II and Hades as the top two favorables.
That's fair.
And I understand why you want Animal Crossing, but like,
I feel like it's such a difficult thing because like when Animal Crossing came out, it was
your entire life.
My entire existence.
Yeah, I know.
It was my entire existence.
Oh, I know.
And the thing is, like, I'm assuming the Game Awards are at the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay.
So nominations are always held in the month of November and the show's in December.
Got it. Okay. Same thing for Goodreads. They don't have an awards there. Anyways. I feel like that was around the time where people still had hope for Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until like the next spring where it was just like, this is the last update. Fuck you guys. And was just like, that's it.
Yeah, that was cool. I remember that.
Yeah. I still have a lot of gripes. I still love Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Right.
It could have been so much more. It could have been so much more. No, it could have.
Which is, like, disappointing in its own right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
It's fun. Having a good time.
In my opinion, 2021 was one of, like, the lesser years where it was, like, not as many hits came out. So
we always gotta have those years.
No, I get it. Especially they had, like, what, 2 years in a row? 3 years in a row that were, like, kind of, like, banger after banger after banger.
That's true.
This one is Deathloop. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a Bethesda Works game. Metroid Dread, Nintendo. I think that's technically a remake.
Okay.
Psychonauts 2. I did hear some relatively good things about it.
Okay.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Ratchet and Clank was like an old IP.
No, yeah,
You know, everyone's
They're like Banjo Kazooie.
Banjo Kazooie. What the fuck is Banjo?
I don't know who Banjo is.
It Takes Two. And Resident Evil Village.
Village one.
No.
Whoa.
It Takes Two does. You gotta remember, this was COVID time.
I guess you're right.
So, multiplayer shit was, like,
I just feel like I saw so... And maybe it's just because I was watching Markiplier.
It definitely was just because you were watching Markiplier and Lady Dimitrescu or whatever.
But also, Lady Dimitrescu should have deserved an award of her own right.
A lot of people had their own, like...
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And trust me, when it comes to Resident Evil lore, I was like, come on. Are you fucking kidding? Like, that's how it made me feel. So
I wasn't even watching. I don't know any of the lore.
No, you're fine.
I saw Big Lady.
Oh, that's what Markiplier saw, too. He has a body pillow over now. Good for him. For 2022, they had Stray.
Ooh, I love that game.
Horizon Forbidden West. A Plague Tale Requiem. God of War Ragnarok. Elden Ring and Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Would I have loved it to be Stray? Yes. I love that little cat game. But it probably was Elden Ring.
It was Elden Ring. But it was a very close call. And I remember my brother and I had, like, extensive conversations.
Yeah.
Anytime it comes to this time of year, me and my one brother, Will, it's where we're, like, downstairs in the living room at, like, 11 at night. And we're like, no, but you gotta consider this. We thought it was between God of War Ragnarok and Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Because we were like, there's no way.
Sure.
It's not.
Yeah. I do love seeing just, like, an indie game being nominated for Game of the Year.
Oh, 100%.
I love seeing it. I would have loved it to be that little cat game. I love that little cat game.
But, like, it's just unfortunate that... And the same thing with God of War Ragnarok. Huge fucking game. Immaculate storytelling, great music, audio design, all of it. It came out the same year as Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Which just happened to be, like... highly anticipated. Everyone wanted it to come out. And it was massive when it first came. Like, it was fucking massive in the first month that it was out. So it's a little hard to beat that when your opponent, God of War Ragnarok, is a PlayStation exclusive. Mm-hmm. It's not as widely accessible as Elden Ring was.
Yeah, that hurts it.
And that's the only thing that me and my brother, like, really fought about. Mm-hmm. I was like, Elden Ring is available on all platforms.
Yeah.
You can only watch God of War Ragnarok or own it on PlayStation.
I'm assuming that, like, when it comes to, like, those indie, like, titles that are up there, I'm assuming they're also being nominated for, like, Best Independent Game. So, like, yeah. something like Hades is also being nominated for, like, Best Independent Game. Like, Absolutely. Stray is being nominated yeah. for Best Independent.
And I would say, hands down, that they won those categories. For sure.
If they're being nominated for Best Game of the Year. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're an independent game. Why would they not be in that category?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I like about it, too, where it's, like, they're all over the place. They can win multiple things, which is so nice. And then we have the nominations for 2023.
Okay.
So, Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
Alan Wake 2.
Yeah.
Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
And The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay. So, Maya.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Really?
Yeah, hands down.
Well, you haven't finished Tears of the Kingdom either.
That's why I think Baldur's Gate 3 is going to win. Yeah. Because Breath of the Wild was like, oh my god, yes. this is brand new. This is so exciting. Open world, new mechanics, da 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 da. Tears of the Kingdom lost a lot of its magic because it was a sequel.
Okay.
I got tired of playing it.
Sure.
I finished the tutorial section. I finished a couple side quests. Mm-hmm. I finished one of the major side quests. I got tired and I stopped playing and I've never picked it up back since. I have not even thought.
Mm-hmm.
When I consider games I want to play for a night of relaxation, it's not even on my mind.
Okay.
Whereas Baldur's Gate kind of, for me, came out of nowhere. It mm-hmm. wasn't on my radar. I didn't really know what it was about. I got recommendations from friends to play it. I got recommendations from my brothers to play it. Mm-hmm. And I hopped on it and I have over 120 hours logged into it now.
Yeah.
In the span of, like, less than a month.
Do you think it's going to win?
I do think it is going to win. Because I understand why, if The Legend of Zelda wins,
mm-hmm.
I can understand why.
Yeah.
But I really don't think it's going to. Mm-hmm. The amount of support I have seen for Baldur's Gate is probably the same community that played Legend of Zelda. And I've seen way more content surrounding
Baldur's Gate
than I have...
Sure.
Just Tears of the Kingdom. And we're also talking, like, PC versus Nintendo Switch mm-hmm. and blah, 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 and, like, that kind of stuff. These are all really good games. Besides Alan Wake 2, I don't know anything about it. And I don't want Resident Evil 4 to win at all.
Sure, because it's a remake. Yeah.
I just fucking hate it. So, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, I've heard really good things about. I listen to the Piranha Plant song frequently.
Yeah.
It fills my day with joy. It makes me happy. Marvel Spider-Man 2, I watched all of Jacksepticeye's playthrough. Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice.
But compared to the accessibility,
the range,
the sheer amount of stuff that goes on in Baldur's Gate that they accounted for going into Baldur's Gate 3. Like, there are things with NPCs, like, if you're playing with a friend and you're having this conversation with this NPC and they're, like, threatening you, they can go and pickpocket their knife, the NPC's knife, from this other person, and then it'll cut to them being like, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
Who programs that into a game?
Yeah.
I think it's just all of the little things. Don't get me wrong. Tears of the Kingdom definitely has, like, a lot of those little things. But just in terms of scripting, as in, like, computer code scripting, scripting, the writing for that game is fucking insane. Accessibility, the choices you can make, like, all the options. I think, hands down, Baldur's Gate 3 should win. That's not saying that any of the other games are bad by for any sure. means. It's just... tomato, tomato, you know, like, in my eyes, I think Baldur's Gate 3 should win. And this is not my campaign. This episode is not like
this
me.
This should be.
It should. And you all should go vote for it right now. You all should
go vote for it right now if she didn't do enough at the dating game simulation.
Listen, I'm fucking all of them. But it's just like, especially for, I think this is Larian Studios, like, first nomination on this list.
Oh, wow.
For best game. Yeah, like... I think that's huge for them.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. And then the Joystick Awards happened, I think, a couple this last week. Clean sweep.
There are those things, like, when you are watching film for, like, the Oscars and things like the SAG-AFTRA Awards and, like, Golden Globes happen and you're just like...
They're trends.
I can see, like...
No, and this is a personal opinion, but...
You love that little game.
I do think it deserves to win. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of honest to God, one of the most impressive games I've played in a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think the replayability is great, and I am going to continue playing it for a long time, probably.
Yeah.
So, hee-hee-ha-ha. Love that. You wanted to...
I want to see the indie games.
Okay.
That's what I follow, baby.
But you also wanted to see Anticipated?
Yeah.
So, hold on. have to scroll through all the fucking...
Indie games are the one thing that I actually, like, truly follow very closely of, like, when games get announced or when games get released, like, where they get released on either Steam or Switch. I personally like playing them on Switch just because, like, I like playing them on my big TV.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, indie games are, like, one of the things, because I just really like a cute, cozy, comfy game that's not going to break my budget. It's not going to be, like,
$60.
Right. There are some, like, Fae Farm came out. I would not be surprised if Fae Farm was on that list. It's like a $40, $50 game. And I'm like, kind of deserves to be $40, $50. Will I wait for it to be on sale? Yes. But there's others like Coral Island, which I would also kind of expect to be on that list, is not $40, $50. And I'm waiting for it to be on Steam. I've watched other people play it and I think it's great. And I've been following. Awesome. I gave it money on the Kickstarter.
Nice.
Indie games is like the one thing that I like truly... follow very closely.
No, and the thing is like when I was kind of going through this, I was like, the equivalent of indie games is fan fiction.
Absolutely.
This is where like our bread and butter is. Mm-hmm, and so it makes a lot of sense. And I was even thinking about it. I was like, they're so comparable.
Yeah.
And we had sort of, you've talked about the Goodreads Awards, yeah, like vaguely on the show sometimes, so I know a little bit about it. But to hear that they're cutting categories,
yeah,
is so disappointing because both of these mediums, both written fiction, written just whatever, and video games, is like, so much effort gets put into them. Yeah. We're not recognizing that in the slightest. And the Game Awards obviously is like massive. These are massive teams. Not all massive teams, but teams of people that are creating things together. Mm-hmm. Whereas that's what fan fiction is. Yeah. And it's just like not as recognized, but they're both compared,
yeah,
and could be like said to be the same thing.
No,
so
they're getting a lot of, rightfully, a lot of fucking flack.
Good.
For cutting all of these categories. And also just like, it is like, don't get me wrong, it is a popularity game at the end of the day, but like when nominations come around, it shouldn't just be white authors. It shouldn't just be like straight authors writing romance. It shouldn't just be men writing fantasy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Right. There's
such a problem. But it's, like, I don't know how to... Like, no one knows how to fix it, because it's just, like, Goodreads being Goodreads. And it's also, like, I don't know any other book awards platform that, like, the public can just vote on easily. But it is just, like, we don't have anything, like, best author of the year or, like, best... Because there's authors that write, like, several books a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything even close to, like, best... book convention of the year, best panel of the year, like best author of the year, even right, like best independent. There is no independent,
right? And that's what I was thinking
category
about too, where I was like, what other award show has like independent,
yeah,
XYZ independent artist, independent film, anything like that, where they have a category for it? Not many.
Yeah.
Which I think is why I like the Game Awards quite a bit more than I like any other game,
yeah,
show.
That's fair.
It sits right with me that they keep expanding more and more,
yeah,
and more, and it's open to the public, and it's,
no,
like,
I think, like,
available.
Like, as much as the Grammys, like, overwhelms me with the amount of categories they have, I think it's good that they have that amount of categories,
right,
because, like, there's so many genres of music in the same way there's so many genres of games and so many genres of book, and it's, like, you should be giving more people the opportunity, A, to, like, have visibility towards that thing. Because there's, like, even when I was looking at the Goodreads Choice Awards nominations today, I was like, oh, I've never heard of that book. I've never heard of that book. Like, it gives me, oh, I might want to read that later. I might want to read that at some point and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it already gives you, like, visibility in the way that, like, if it doesn't pick up on TikTok in the same way that, like, Emily Henry are, or Sarah J. Maas or any of these people who, like, already have giant followings, or just are they already have incredibly popular reads that are already picking up steam on like book TikTok or like book,
right,
YouTube, that gives you an opportunity to be like seen. But yeah, like there's also that conversation of like when it comes to like middle grade, or I mean really like graphic novels, they're not as legitimized of being like real literature. And that's already a big problem in literature.
Right.
Which is also, we have a conversation about this about fan fiction all the time, of just like, it is,
no, it is,
it is, it is, I hate it. I love reading, I love books, I love the written word. You video game girl, novel girl, that is who we are at the end of day.
Real.
And because I'm so deeply invested in like traditionally published, independently published, and fan fiction overall, just like as a whole, it really makes the idea of, like, if we're cutting things like graphic novels, traditionally published graphic novels,
yeah,
out of the game, what does independent, self-published on Amazon or fan fiction ever have the time of day? Like, they don't even have a shot in the dark right. at that point. And I'm not saying that fan fiction will ever be, like, nominated for any award, like, unless it's, like, a someone on YouTube who makes an award show for fan fiction. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a very, like, self-contained thing. But, like, it still is just, like, well, if something like Goodreads, which is, like, the number one book outlet, book reviewer, book, and, like, so many people go on Goodreads, like, every single day. There are other things like Storygraph. I love Storygraph. If you don't know what Storygraph is, I would suggest maybe switching to Storygraph. But, like, for something like Bookreads, who is, like, already has this massive thing and this massive reach and this massive, like, overview of the world of literature, mm-hmm. to be, like, we're just gonna cut middle grade poetry and graphic novels. Instead of just, like, you know what?
Right.
We do have romantasy. And I'm not going to say that, like, we didn't need romantasy because, like, we had fantasy novels and then things like Sarah J. Maas's books that are, like, true romantasy. Like, they are trash, but, like, they're trash we love. And I'm not going to say that they don't have a place.
Right.
But, like, there were fantasy novels that deserved a spot that, like, some were taking up. So it's, like, yeah, we should have maybe added some categories. But why did we ever remove any category?
Yeah, the interesting thing about the Game Awards is that it was started and founded by one guy, and mm-hmm. he started by, like, solo funding that. Yeah. And I know that's, like, a very privileged position to be in. And then after that, it became, like, a funded thing, and there are producers and actual mm-hmm. people putting on the event, and, like, sponsors and that kind of thing. And it just kind of goes to show that if someone really wanted to, that they could, mm-hmm. no matter at what size yeah. or scale. So this isn't to be like, someone out there, go do the work.
Right.
And do it. But it's just to be like, these are just like made up things. Like yeah. these awards don't become a prestigious thing until it gains enough traction.
For sure.
And like there's enough like sponsors involved and like that kind of thing. So even if it's like your own badge of honor, like mm-hmm. it kind of doesn't matter. You can yeah. just go out there and do it.
I mean, even something like the Fangoria Awards for horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because Fangoria, like the magazine that like started in the 80s or the 90s. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the Oscars fucking hate genre movies. It was shocking that Jordan Peele got a director award and Get Out got, should have won, but it was nominated.
Right.
Something like The Silence of the Lambs had to become a psychological thriller because in, like, the process of trying to get it nominated, no one wanted it if it was considered a horror movie.
Right.
So then it was, like, the Fangoria Award started to, like, combat that. And, of course, it started in the 90s. It's been going on forever. But now it's at a point where, like, the people who know horror and, like, genuinely love horror, they wear the Fangoria Awards as, like, a badge of honor. Like, last year, right. Nope won so many awards. Nope should have won so many awards at generalized award ceremonies, but, like, it didn't because, again, it's genre. But Jordan Peele, who, like, is very recluse, almost, like, he doesn't really do yeah. a ton of interviews, he doesn't really go to red carpets or whatever, even he filmed something and was just like, I am deeply honored about this. He's like, I grew up reading the Fangoria magazines. This means so much to me. And it's because it's people who are in your circle seeing you.
And that's all that matters is like the right community seeing
yeah.
you. And like, obviously, the Game Awards, massive community.
For sure.
Grammys, that's all music, yeah. encompassing all of
mm-hmm.
Western music. Huge,
mm-hmm.
big, obviously. Movies, huge.
Yeah.
So even if it becomes something where it's like very specific, you can still go out there and do it and mm-hmm. have it be successful and, you know, like build yeah. something out of it. So this isn't to like discourage anyone and be like, these are massive
no.
awards. But it's also not to be like, go out there and do the work.
Right.
It's just to be like, there are possibilities out there.
Yeah.
And these are all forms and mediums that we all appreciate and we yeah. derive ideas from.
Basically,
and talk
there's
about.
There's always space for everyone. Like they had yeah. the Grammy or the Oscars, but a bunch of people who enjoyed horror movies noticing that like these incredibly made, mm-hmm. passionately produced horror movies were not being nominated because a bunch of snobs in the Academy. And so they were like, fuck it, we're going to do it ourselves. And the right. same way that guy, who, you're right, is in a very privileged position, just self-funded himself, was like, games are not being recognized in the way that they should be.
Right.
So there's always space for people to do stuff like that. Like, there is, no one's ever going to complain about getting too many awards. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
I think it's even funny on the Game Awards website, they have free available like, hey, you can 3D print your own game award if you really so want funny. To. Like, here you go. It's yeah. cute. So
you want a little
I kind of like that. It yeah. was like, the Oscars. Fucking let me 3D print an Oscar.
Let me a little, yeah, give me please. A little golden man to 3D print right. on my own.
Because even, like, if you're an indie developer, like, that would be such a nice gift yeah. if, like, you know, your mom or your dad was yeah. like, oh, I found the zip file. Here you go. You're
yeah.
like, that's cute to me.
Even for, like, could you imagine if you were, like, a little middle schooler or a high schooler who had, like, a passion
right.
for making games.
That's awesome.
And your mom was just like, I'm gonna print these.
That's the thing about the Game Awards is it's like, and I talked about it a little bit already, but just the inclusivity mm-hmm. for the entirety of the community yeah. because they know games are made for everyone. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, obviously when a game is made with any type of media, there's an intended yeah. audience. But it's such a wide variety mm-hmm. of audiences that they really try and get as much as possible. And mm-hmm. they're in a lucky enough position that they get the funding to expand their categories and yeah. add more and, you know, have these longer events and talk about these things. Mm-hmm. So it's just getting to that point.
Yeah.
Did you want to go through
yeah.
some of these categories?
I want the indies and I want the anticipated.
Okay. So most anticipated.
Okay.
There are five. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Hades 2.
Yeah.
Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. I think this is a Yakuza spinoff game
oh, okay.
that I remember hearing about, and I was like, that's fucking hilarious. Star Wars Outlaws,
ooh.
Which is set to be an open world where you play as a smuggler ooh. In the Star Wars universe. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
I'm a little skeptical. And then Tekken 8, which is a fighting game.
My choice would be Hades.
I think it's going to be Hades.
Yeah.
So best debut indie game.
Okay.
So these are companies that are just starting out. First one is called Cocoon. It is by Geometric Interactive / Annapurna.
Okay.
Interactive. The second is Dredge by
yes,
Blacksault
I
Games
love
and
Dredge.
Team 17.
Dredge was so it's like a game where you're a fisherman but you're on a boat and it's like horror.
Mm.
It's crazy. There's like aspects where like and because you're in a little boat, you have to go from island to island.
Oh, I see.
So there are like aspects of like the horror comes into it when you're just on the open water
hate.
And it's like kind of
hate.
I know you you're just on the open water and then sometimes you'll hear like a bell or like sometimes you might see another boat in the distance and like if you choose to go up to it, it could be a boat or it could be some like a trap. It's
hate.
Such a fun game.
Hate.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about I hate the ocean.
Yes.
I have been on boats where I cannot see any mm-hmm. land in any direction, and it legitimately gives me a panic
yeah.
attack. I don't like it.
No, that's exactly, that's the perfect horror, like,
yeah.
just open water.
Maybe I'll look into it, because, like, this is my first time hearing any of these games mm-hmm. in this category. Well, maybe I have this next one, Pizza Tower by Tour de Pizza.
Mm.
The art looks vaguely familiar, it kind of, it looks goofy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's just, like, a goofy mm-hmm. one-off. The fourth is Venba by Visai Games.
Oh, yeah. Venba is a cooking game.
Yeah, it looks cute.
And it's Indian, I'm pretty sure. Like, you play as an Indian child. You follow, basically, like, stories from family members, like grandmothers,
no,
mothers.
Awesome.
And then you cook traditional Indian dishes
that's
along
so
with
cute.
It. The, like, the art style is super cool. Mm. I remember seeing that, like, everywhere. It was, like, really anticipated, like, waiting for this game to come out. But, yeah, you basically cook, like, traditional Indian dishes while listening to the stories of, like, your parents and grandparents.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cute. And then the last is called Viewfinder by Sad Owl Studios or Thunderful Pub.
Viewfinder was a photo game, and it was super cool where, like, there was an aspect of the game where it was, like, you could take a picture and then you could walk into the picture.
Oh, okay.
It was, like, a super cool-looking game.
Did Mark play it?
Mark might have played it.
Okay.
I think one of the big, like, Jacksepticeye Mark, one of, like, the bigger...
Okay.
Definitely played it, because it was, like, yeah, you had, like, a camera, and then you could, like, take a picture, and you would just, like, walk into the photo. And it was just...
Nice.
It was a really great game, guys.
Nice. No, that sounds super cool. And then there's Best Independent Game,
yeah.
which is its own category. So Cocoon is in there.
Okay.
Dave the Diver by Mint
yeah.
Rocket.
Jacksepticeye's girlfriend, Evelyn, Gabby Smulders, she played it. Really funny game. It's a great game.
Nice.
You basically just, like, dive for seafood and you, like, help this sushi restaurant. So you sell,
nice.
Like, the stuff that you get to this restaurant. And then there's, like, a narrative story, like, this town and everything. It's great. It's a great game.
Nice. Dredge is on there.
Yep.
Viewfinder is on there. Okay. And then Sea of Stars by Sabotage Studio.
Interesting. I was expecting a lot of other games. I don't know.
I think there's max 5 per category.
Interesting.
Some
okay.
of them only have 4.
Well, even like I'd never heard of Cocoon, and maybe I should since it was on both categories.
Never heard of it.
But again, like there was something that came out this year, like Roots of Pacha came out. Night in the Woods came out this year. That was like a really anticipated one. But maybe I'm just like, maybe it was just anticipated for me. Maybe I was just anticipating.
It's also a matter of, I think, them submitting themselves makers. So it's hard to say.
That's true.
Who is like actively aware of this I guess who cares?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I was just like, I can think of other. Did Mail Time come out this year? Mail Time came out. Because there's like a bunch of like indie games. Because there's a YouTube channel that I follow. Let me pull it up. They do it an indie direct twice a year, and so then you can just like, and it is like people submit like their game footage.
Oh, I see.
So then you can kind of like see like, oh, this one's on the horizon, or oh, I've never heard of this one, or they just announced this one, or they just have game footage. Like they just released game footage for this one. It's called Wholesome Games. They do the Wholesome Direct twice a year, and then they do like a mini direct.
Interesting.
So it's just for like indie games. But I am wondering now for like the other years, like, cause yeah, I would assume things like Stray and Hades would like obviously win, but then you think of other like incredibly huge indie games like Unpacking. I mean, Stardew Valley came out in 2016, so they would have had the Game Awards.
I'm trying to see if I can find a list of.
Cuphead is technically independent. Undertale right. was independent. Hollow Knight. Honestly, they should also have just like anticipated indie game.
Yeah.
Because it might give the independent like creators a push to like finish them.
Best independent game has been an award since 2014.
Okay.
Since the very beginning. But I can't find like a comprehensive list.
Mm.
Wikipedia only has Game of the Year as a comprehensive list. So.
Yeah. So do you watch the Game Awards?
Here's the funny thing. I forget that they happen, and then I get like the media after or as it's happening. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So I do try when I remember to like make an effort to watch it, because it is like interesting and the fan reactions are kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that I think the community is very interesting, and it's one of the only reasons that I do keep up with the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Do I watch it? I try to. Usually I just watch it after the fact. But it's cringe. It's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, I enjoy it. And it is a form, it is a medium that a lot of fan fiction is based off of.
Yeah.
I've just, I was like surprised. I was thinking about it and I was like, I have never once brought up the Game Awards.
Yeah.
On the show at all. Which disappointed a little bit.
In yourself?
Myself. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This fucking sucks.
I mean, fan fiction is just an amalgamation of what people love. And that comes from television, movies, novels, video games. Like,
right.
It doesn't really matter what that form is. It really is just, like, what people grasp onto at the end of the day. And, like, there's, like, no way to, like, interpret the legacy of something is going to be if you were very pompous person who, like, only sees high class or whatever. I'm just like, well, this doesn't mean anything. It's just a romance novel, or it is just an indie game or whatever, because it's like something like LGBTQ romance novel Red, White, and Royal Blue on fire right now, and then something like Hades, an independent game, so much fan fiction is written about it,
right?
So it's like, there you can think of the legacy of like how many awards you win, and like I'm not gonna say that like you shouldn't feel good about winning awards, because obviously it feels good to win awards and to be recognized in that sort of way, but it's like the community and the fans are really is what's going to keep like that legacy like alive.
No, totally. It is about the community entirely, because I feel so much better when talking to other people that play video games versus when I talk to other people that are very into film.
Right.
There isn't any sort of like, obviously we have the Sundance Film Festival and like a bunch of other film festivals that are meant to be for breakouts and first in indie developers, but there's no recognition from that from the Academy that any sort of that kind of stuff happens, which is so disappointing. And even then, mediums within film get shut down all the time, like animation.
For sure.
They refuse to acknowledge it. They think it's just for kids. They make jokes about it to this day that it's just for children.
Yeah.
Even when we're talking horror movies, never get fucking recognized. No. They are valid form. That's film. What do you mean they don't get? It's film.
Yeah.
It's why I support the Game Awards so much.
Yeah.
Because it is just like, They have a VR AR category. They have best indie debut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else has that fucking category? They have esports categories. They have innovation in accessibility, mm-hmm. making games more widely accessible to people who have disabilities. One of the coolest things that I've seen lately is like, oh, you can change the volume in one headphone versus the other if you're partially deaf in one ear. Like, that's so helpful. All of these minor things that you don't see people in film doing that. It's just one of those things that, obviously, I love video games.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would love to work in the video game industry. And I know a lot of people are in a very similar position that I am. And we are just extremely lucky to have these awards mm-hmm. compared to other mediums. Whereas, like, Goodreads is, like, getting rid of categories.
Yeah.
And shit like that. Where it's like, oh, everyone reads. Everyone learns to read. Everyone reads. Yeah. That's how it is. But there's, like, an even smaller selection, I guess, of people that actually read to, like, think about it and, like, judge those books. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I read, I don't go to Goodreads. I'm like, I'm going to mark it. And, like, you know, I read to just, like, read shit.
I like looking back on things. Like, I love that I have a Goodreads that goes back to 2014.
Damn.
Because then it can see, like, how many books did I read in 2016? Oh, 68? That's crazy. Who was I in 2016? Mm-hmm. Like, a depressed high school graduate is what I was in 2016. But then it can also, like, some of my favorite things are, like, being able to go back to some of the reviews that I did from books that I read when I was, like, 15, 16 years old and be like, bitch, why were you so obsessed? It wasn't that deep. Like,
right.
You're like, but it more than anything, like, I know we talk, like, Goodreads needs to change and, like, fix itself and, like, needs to realize that, like, removing categories and, like, gatekeeping these awards from, like, certain people who write in the categories but also who write specific categories is just, like, not how we want to move forward with it, especially since, again, literature can be seen as such a high and mighty, like, oh, if you're not reading, like, classic literature, right, or if you're not reading Pulitzer Prize winning, like, there's a meaning and a message and a deeper philosophical. I just want to watch two people fuck, okay? Yeah. I am here for the smut girlies, and I think they deserve a category. Anyways, but there's nothing that I love more than being able to, like, look back on the progress and, like, when did I read? I'm just like, oh my god, when did I read this book? 2015, 2017, 2019, whatever. And it's just mm-hmm. like, that is what, like, keeps me at Goodreads, because there's just so much history there for me personally. And, like, so
I think that fair. That is fair. It's just, like, to the layman.
To the layman, for sure.
Who doesn't have quite an extensive book collection, who doesn't read quite as much. It's not something that, like, I would think to do mm-hmm. after I'm done reading something that I would enjoy. It's when things like this pop up, like the Game Awards, that I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I can finally, like, say something about it, I guess. Yeah. There's that, like, dichotomy too, I guess.
No, I mean, that's fair. There's, people have their certain things. Neither of us are, like, really big into film. Like, we're not seeing, like, a film from Argentina that came out in 1916. Listen,
I'm getting a film degree. I am not a film bro.
Or even, like, oh, there's this person who has 12 monthly listeners on Spotify. Like, we're neither of those people. But, like, to you, the video games is the media that means the most to you.
Right.
And to me, it's literature. And it's, like, novels. And it's, like, it's what takes up most of my hobby. It's what takes up most of my time.
Right.
It's just the thing that you love.
I think it's why I'm so turned off to events like the Oscars or the Grammys or the Emmys or the Tonys or stuff like that. Like, those feel like very closed off mm-hmm. events. Like, they're only allowed for certain personnel and, like, stuff like that. Whereas the Game Awards is just, like, tickets are on sale right now if you want to come and, like, hang out and, like, maybe have the potential for meeting the game devs mm-hmm. that made some of your favorite games. Like, that's huge. That's so important because you don't really get that.
Yeah.
In any other sort of medium, at least no other medium that I'm, like, heavily involved with. So I just feel extremely lucky that this is the thing that I love the most, and this is the award show that just happens to be tied to it.
I want nothing more than for something like Goodreads or anything else that comes about to become, like, the Game Awards. Yeah. Because, like,
it is so comparable. Because even while I was doing my notes, I was like, indie games are just fan fiction. Like, I had that revelation. I was like, oh my god.
It's just a bunch of people, like, getting together.
What the fuck? Why don't we have, like, an AO3 Awards? What is going on?
We need to have an AO3 Awards.
Yeah.
Best continued work.
Been going on for 7 years.
Best unfinished, or, like, best abandoned work.
Best orphaned work.
Best orphaned
work. That'd be fucking hilarious.
Like, that's what we need. I think that's our next endeavor.
And again, it is one of those things, like, anyone could just, or maybe someone has, like, yeah. You know, we don't know. It could just be, like, one of those things, someone tried doing something in 2016, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna take some of these ideas, message the person, and, like, try and revamp it.
So what,
like,
we need to do...
Can I finish college first?
You mean you want to finish your degree first before we go find the heads of AO3 and pitch our idea and hope they give us some of the thousands of dollars? Because
then I can go, I have 2 degrees. I'm educated.
Give me a job. Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fan fiction recommendations, or if you're a fan fiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.